Welcome to the Birthful Podcast. I'm Adriana Losada, and on today's Friday Birthful Story, I'll be talking with Celia Mae Donaldson about her home birth. After Celia's water broke, her midwife said, "It's going to get more intense now." Even then, Celia felt strong and powerful while being in so much pain. She felt grateful to be connected to her body, and she knew that the only way through it was through it. So she roared. Stay tuned. This episode of Birthful is brought to you by Simply Breastfeeding, a prenatal breastfeeding course to help nursing parents feel confident with their newborns. Learn more at birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding and use the code Birthful for 15% off. This episode of Birthful is also brought to you by Expectful, an evidence-based guided meditation app created specifically for those trying to conceive, pregnant, or new moms. Learn more and sign up for a free 2-week trial at expectful.com/birthful. The Birthful Podcast, talking to new parents to inform your intuition. Hello, mighty parents and parents-to-be. Thanks again for all the love you give the show. And if you like what you hear, then make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Also, if you want to share your story on the show, then go to birthful.com/story to let me know. Right now, I'm looking for postpartum breastfeeding or partner stories. So if that is you, then go to birthful.com/story and let's do it. Also, quick reminder that if you are around 29 to 34 weeks pregnant or near that, this is the perfect time for you to start preparing for life with a newborn. And to help you with that, do check out my postpartum preparation course called Thrive with Your Newborn at birthfulcourses.com. This is not a class on newborn care, but rather on how to understand, connect with, and enjoy the baby you got, and at the same time, help you figure out your new identity as a parent without losing yourself. You can start the class at any time and take it at your own pace, but best to do it before baby arrives. Don't get me wrong, it's still super helpful after, but as Michelle, one of the students that took it, said recently, quote, "I wish I did the class before my baby came. Instead, I struggled through those first few weeks. Early motherhood is so confusing and intense, and it would have been much better if I had the knowledge and expectations taught in the course from the beginning," end quote. So do yourself a favor and go sign up right now at birthfulcourses.com. All right, so on to today's birth story, which is with Celia Mae Donaldson, who's here to tell us all about it. Celia, welcome. So great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we've been corresponding back and forth because the birth of your child and your pregnancy has sort of catapulted you into this world of birth and postpartum. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and how you got into this.
So I have been fascinated by birth my whole life. And I became a doula in 2011, but haven't been assisting at too many births. I was born at home, and I just gave birth to my son at home this past October. And during my pregnancy, I knew that I wanted to find out as much as I could about giving birth so I could be really prepared. And I found so much information that I thought, well, most people don't know this stuff. We just are told what our parents have gone through and our friends and what the hospital tells us, and there's a lot out there. So I created this website called holisticmama.org where I share evidence-based information to prepare for birth and beyond. And I ended up having an amazing birth, and so I wanted to continue with this work. And this coming May, I will complete my certification as a childbirth educator. And then I'll be teaching local childbirth classes in the SF Bay Area, as well as offering a virtual childbirth class that mamas and their partners can participate in from home.
Fantastic. And yeah, so exciting, right? And there is so much out there. And that's kind of why I do this podcast, because I feel I need to amplify the voices of all these wonderful birth professionals who are passionate and have so much to say and share, and make it so that new and expectant parents can find it in an easy way. I think that's the biggest goal, because you were saying you searched, you had to do a lot of digging to find out resources. So what were some of those helpful resources that you found? Like, what did you do to prepare? What was part of that journey?
Well, the Birthful podcast was one of my biggest resources. So I listened to like every episode I could get my hands on. And I reached out to people in my community, prenatal yoga classes, because I was a doula already. I had a doula instructor, and I reached out to her for resources. I read a ton of books. I found a few other podcasts, and really spent a lot of time focusing on like exercises that I could come back to when I'm in labor.
Can you tell, like, what?
So one of the things I got from spinningbabies.com, they have this like 17-minute or 30-minute yoga exercise thing, and it really focuses on the breath and movements to support the pelvic floor. And so I did that every single day. And then in my labor, I found myself coming back to a lot of those positions, like the squatting position. And also another awesome resource that I found was RachelYellen.com. She has this relaxation audio program, and I would listen to it every night. And then a lot of it was affirmations, and a lot of it was actually like practicing releasing and tightening and releasing certain parts of the body with the breath, and different types of breath that you can use in labor. And that was like one of the biggest things that got me through.
Yeah. Can you spell her name?
Rachel Yellen.
Yeah.
So RACHEL. And then Yellen is YELLIN.
Okay. Not like I'm yelling at you, but without the gym.
Right.
Cool. And did you take any childbirth ed classes?
Yeah. So I was debating, like, because I've assisted at childbirth classes before as a doula, and I know so much about birth. I was very confident, but my partner, although he did trust the process, he didn't know nearly as much as I did. And I wanted to go to a class together so that he could really feel confident that he had tools to support me in labor. And I wanted to just like meet more people who are about to give birth also. So we went to a childbirth class, and it was so awesome because we actually got to practice things that we could do together in labor and really refresh my memory about the physiology of birth, how my baby is going to be moving down and what it's going to be like in early labor and active and transition. And so that was really helpful.
Mm, and that's a great point, that even if you know about birth, it can be not only a great refresher, but a way for you and your partner to come together and have sort of the same information, be on the same page.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. So then fast forward. No, let's not fast forward. So you were doing all this preparation. What were your expectations and hopes and wishes for your birth?
Well, I so trusted my body because I just believe birth is like this divine, beautiful thing that we are made to do. And I really hoped to have a calm, empowering birth at home. And if I needed to transfer for some reason, I wanted to be able to do that, knowing that I did everything I could and just have peace of mind around it. And I went through my whole labor feeling like this up until like the last month. I'm like, can I really do this? I don't know.
What do you think propelled those thoughts? So was it just the how close it was, how imminent it was?
Yeah, I think so. And just like really my belly being so big and thinking like, how is a human being going to come out of me? Like, this really happens.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I remember not wanting to think too much about it, of the actual, like, these many pounds have to go through this opening.
Yeah.
So then now let's fast forward to when you know, things started. How did they start?
Well, this really threw me off because, I mean, every birth is different and I had been to some of them, but this was like just confusing to me. So my due date was September 26th, but September 4th, I thought I was going into labor, and all month long, I thought I was going into labor because on and off for days, I would have like an hour of contractions and tons of cervix pressure, and I would get a hot flash and I would need to lean my body forward to cope. And sometimes I'd even have to stop my conversation, and then it would go away, and then it would come back and go away. And I was scheduled to go on a meditation retreat. My midwife was like, you should stay in town just in case. And so, yeah, all month long, we were like, I bet he's going to come early. And then my due date came and went. And 4 days after my due date, October 1st is when he was born. That was very different than I expected.
Was there anything particular to, so when it actually started, did it feel any different than what you had been experiencing for weeks, or was it also more the same?
It was more of the same, pretty much. And the main difference is that it didn't go away.
Right.
So it was the evening. Let's see, I was in labor all day Saturday. So it was the evening of Friday and I was having the normal like cervix pressure and some contractions. And I thought, okay, it's probably going to go away. And I went to bed and it just kept kind of coming back and being annoying. And I couldn't really sleep. And I remember like around 5 a.m. I finally fell asleep. And I guess I was convinced that it was going to go away. So I didn't really believe it was happening yet. And then, so I had like a 2 hour nap basically that morning. And then I woke up and thought, okay, this is probably something if all night I couldn't sleep. So that morning, my partner gave me a little like back hip massage and I took a picture, which I love looking at now because we're both smiling. I'm like, yep, you can tell that's early labor.
Oh, and I love that you have a momentum of you guys together from the process.
Yeah, it's fun to look back on. I have a picture of him preparing our bed. He's like putting plastic over it and then the sheet on top. So yeah, he set the bed up that morning just in case. We didn't know how long it was going to take, but we didn't want to have to deal with it later. So that morning, yeah, we took it kind of easy and we spent the day just home eating delicious food and watching movies. And I remember I was just wearing like wool socks and underwear and a flannel shirt that I left unbuttoned. And I would lay down and sit up and waddle around the house. I remember walking like felt good, and laying down would make contractions hurt more. But still throughout the day, it was manageable. I was able to talk and laugh and like just hang out.
And before you go on to things ramping up a little, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back. Let's talk breastfeeding. It may be natural, but that sure doesn't mean it's easy. It is a learning process for both you and baby, and like most learning processes, it takes a lot of trial and error. However, this trial and error can sometimes come with a lot of crying, and not necessarily only from your baby. Help lessen the crying and frustration by arming yourself with some solid knowledge. A great way to prepare for this is by taking the Simply Breastfeeding online class created by breastfeeding experts Cindy and Jana. In their class, you'll learn to recognize what your baby is telling you and how to meet your baby's needs, starting with the very first hour after birth. You'll understand the basics of breastfeeding and be able to return to them if you encounter difficulties, and you'll feel confident knowing that the answers to the most frequently asked questions are right there for you. Lessen your anxiety and frustration and relax, knowing that you've got this. Go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding to learn more. And as a Birthful listener, you get 15% off if you use the code Birthful when you register. So go to birthful.com/simplybreastfeeding or click the link on the show notes to get you on your way. And we are back, talking to Celia Donaldson about her birth story. And so you were walking around, that felt good, laying down hurt more. Most of the day is going through, you're eating good foods, watching movies. Are we getting to like the end of like evening now? Or how long did you do that for?
Yeah, so that was pretty much from 7 a.m. until, gosh, 9 or 10 p.m. and I was very tired because I couldn't really lay down for very long. My contractions would hurt a little bit more. And so I would try to nap sitting up, but that didn't work very well. So I was tired. I was texting my midwife, and she said, oh, I asked her, so like, what's going on? Is this going to happen? Am I just going to be like this for days? And she said, why don't you have a shot of alcohol and take a bath, and either it's going to calm down and you'll get some sleep, or it's going to kick things into gear. So I was like, okay, well, I don't have any alcohol. and we live on Treasure Island in the middle of the bay, and there's actually no alcohol on this island. So my partner, Ali, he calls one of our neighbors, and he's like, my wife is in labor, and I'm wondering if you have a bottle of wine you could lend us. And they were very confused, and that was
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll be right back. And he goes down the street, and then he comes back with a bottle of wine. So I had a small glass of wine, and we set up the bathtub, and Ali was great. He was always there, but like there wasn't a whole lot that he could do or needed to do. So I was sitting in the bathtub, and we had some candles and this relaxing music, and he was sitting there next to me in his office chair, like working on his work on his computer. And I was just like hanging out in the bathtub for a little while, and it did not take long, like sitting in the bath, for things to shift. I felt like the baby do something, and like kind of it kind of felt like he was like turning, twisting to the left or something like that, and pretty much right away contractions were stronger and consistently every 4 minutes. I'm like, wow, okay, I guess the wine worked. So I was just breathing through and really like getting in my cave, like closing my eyes and tuning out everything. And pretty soon after, the contractions moved to like every 2 minutes, and I was like, I gotta get out of this bathtub. I did not want to lie down anymore. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, we had a birth tub, and we never inflated it because labor was like, it was like early labor for so long, and we were like, I don't know if it's time, should we do it, let's wait. So we had this birth tub, and we never filled it up. Then I ended up going in our regular bathtub,
Which provided you good comfort anyway.
Yes, it did. Yes, for a short amount of time, it was exactly what I needed.
How long do you think you were in there? Like, that was kind of like 10 p.m.
Yeah, I think I was in the bathtub for maybe an hour. It felt very quick, actually, but it was about an hour. So, it's nighttime. I decide I need to get out of the shower, out of the bath, but I still wanted to be in warm water because that was like re really soothing. So I went into our bedroom, which has a bathroom connected to it, where you have a nice shower in there. So I went and I got into the shower, and things just got really, really intense. And I just did, like, I felt so primal at that point. I was not in my thinking brain at all. And I would close my eyes and have the water on my back and just be leaning forward against the wall and swaying side to side. And every breath, I was moaning it out super loud, super deep, and slow. And then when a contraction would ease up, I would kind of turn around and just like breathe it out, let it go. And then it would come back. And, really, I would take those moments between contractions to just relax as much as I could and not think about the next one coming. Staying so in the moment was key for me because I knew if I was gonna think about what's coming, I would freak out, and freaking out is not gonna help me in this birth.
And that's so crucial, especially when things are really intense. Just do this one. Just do this one.
Exactly. So, after being in the shower for maybe 30 minutes, it was like 11:30 at night. I told Ali, "You need to call the midwife. It's time to call her." I felt like things were going faster. And we also had a doula, but surprisingly, I did not want to call her. I just was so in the zone, and I felt like anyone else there would like interrupt what I had going on. And as a doula, I know like they can be so helpful, and especially in hospitals, but at home too. So I was
Do
really
you
surprised
think,
afterwards that I didn't call her.
no. And do you think that just knowing that she was a phone call away was helpful support? Like, even just that little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and even before, during pregnancy, even though I trusted so much in the process, I knew I wanted to have a doula because still going into birth, it's like the unknown, and I might need that support in some way, whether it's like emotional or physical. It's so good to just have someone there, or for my partner, like if he needed a break, it was important to have someone who could support him or support me while he's taking a nap.
And you guys did prenatals together too.
So
You had the information and sort of the pre-preparation. Oh, I guess preparation is the word. The preparation from that, right?
We did, yeah. And my midwife and my doula met, so we had our team. But we didn't call her, and I was just, doing my breathing. My midwife showed up 30 minutes later. She got there like around midnight, and it was so interesting having her come into the birth space because I was like really in this different realm that I've heard people talk about, but now, I was going through it, and when you're in it, it's not like as trippy as it is afterwards when you're like, wow, that was so different. But she shows up, and she like peeks into the shower, and she just quietly says hello, and I like looked at her, but I didn't really acknowledge her, and in a way, it was like really cool that like she knew where I was and was able to just like keep the space in a way that I needed. And she was like that for the rest of labor too. She would peek in and maybe put her rest her hand on my shoulder or my leg and say something quietly, and then she would kind of disappear into the background. And that was good for both of us. She preserved her energy for the part where she really needed to be hands-on, and I had what I needed, which was to just be in my cave.
Did you in that cave, and it feels like, because nobody knows really what you're gonna want during labor, and you had all these things set up, right? And you've prepared so much and had doula and your partner was there. And that was giving you peace of mind because you don't know when you're gonna need them or not. It seems like then you found that instinctually you just wanted to be like alone and by yourself in the dark. Did that also include not having your partner there?
I
Like
wanted
inside your cave?
him
Sorry.
there, but I wanted him like at this perfect distance where he was like right next to me, but he wasn't talking to me and he wasn't touching me. But he was just there. That felt really good to me. Yeah, and I didn't know what to expect beforehand, if I would want him there or not. But yeah, that's just how it unfolded. So, yeah, and after being in the shower for an hour, I was like, okay, I've had enough of this water, and I decided to go onto my bed. And it's interesting how like instinctual our body movements are in labor. So I just like automatically on the bed went into like hands and knees and leaned over a stack of pillows. And we have like a couple bars at the head of our bed. So I just held onto those bars and leaned over the pillows, and I would just sway back and forth, still moaning and really focusing on this moment, and that's it. And it was getting more intense at this time. My midwife, I remember coming up next to me and just giving me a little bit of guidance on my breathing. If she heard my moaning get higher in pitch, or shorter, more like breathy, she would like do the breath herself and have me get like back on track with her, and that really helped.
Yeah, especially since you did so much preparation and arm breath work,
Yeah,
that was your like big tool.
that was my big tool for sure. Yeah, and having her guide me back to what was working like just made such a big difference. Yeah, so after a while, gosh, it was so intense. I remember thinking like, I'm done. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I had a couple thoughts of like, yep, I understand the epidural. I would do that too if I could right now. But those thoughts would come and go, and I would not hold on to them and just breathe them out. And then I remember kind of waking up when a contraction would start and realizing that I didn't know I had like fallen asleep between them. Maybe it's just like a different kind of sleep for birthing women where you're like somewhere else in this universe for a few minutes or
Right,
one
right.
minute if your contractions are super close.
Yeah, and
But
I
yeah.
find that it's so amazing, like, 'cause you tell people who have not gone through labor that the fact that you can have contractions every 2 to 3 minutes, and in those 30 seconds in between, or that minute in between, you fall asleep. Right?
Huh.
And it just makes no sense that you could fall asleep and then the next second be in this intense experience and then completely let go.
Yeah, it was so interesting. So yeah, I would just it would feel like a really deep sleep, and then suddenly I would feel this wave coming again, and I would just start swaying again and take a deep breath to like welcome it in, and then keep breathing. And after a while, oh, I also forgot to add, I came out of the shower onto the bed just totally wet, and I did not it didn't register to me to dry off. And
Love
my sweet partner came with two towels and put them on top of me. And as I was swaying, they would keep falling off, and he would just put them back on. And I really appreciated that, though I could not communicate it in the moment. But
Oh, that's funny.
that was sweet. And so after a while, I had the urge to turn onto my back, and my midwife was out of the room, but she heard the sound of my moaning shift. And it before it had been, long, deep moans, and then it shifted to like kind of a little bit pushy sounding, like I was like pushing something out, but not super strong. So she would come in and check in, and this had to have been like maybe 1 in the morning or closer to 2. And throughout this whole time, she had been coming every maybe 15, 20 minutes to check baby's heart tones with her, what do you call it?
The Doppler.
Doppler. Yeah. And I never had my dilation checked the whole time, which surprised me because I thought I would want that to know like if I was progressing, but when I was in labor, I did not want to be touched. So it totally worked out that she didn't even offer. And
Wait a second. We're gonna
yeah.
have to take another break. Hold that
Okay.
thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Mighty ones, want to know my solution to resetting my nervous system? It's meditation. But what is so great about resetting your nervous system? Well, if your nervous system spends more time in high alert and doesn't get to go back to baseline often, then your body is in constant state of stress, which is not healthy, really. I have quite a bit of sustained stress in my life, and so I find that meditating is a super easy way to make sure I break up those stress signals. You may be thinking, that sounds great, but I have no time to meditate. Well, the good news is that if you have 5 minutes, then you have time to meditate, and it becomes even easier when you use a meditation app like Expectful. I've tried other meditation apps, and I really like how the Expectful app is designed to fulfill your pregnant or new parent needs by focusing on whatever you need at that moment. Meaning, if you need sleep or a connection with your baby and partner, or embracing your identity, or lessening stress, dealing with uncertainty, Expectful makes it super easy for you. Plus, I love the voice of the person who reads the meditations. That's always super important. Go to expectful.com/birthful to sign up for their free 2-week trial and check it out for yourself. Don't forget to add the /birthful part so they know who sent you. And we're back. I hate disturbing the disturbing your story when
No
you're like,
perfect timing.
yeah, right before things happen. So she never checked you. You never felt like wanting to be checked. Did that continue?
Yeah, well, things sped up after that. Once I was laying on my back, she suggested that I go to the bathroom and try to go pee before the baby was too low and maybe cut off that possibility. So I got up and went to the toilet, and I sat down, and like within a couple seconds my water broke, which was so convenient that I was over the
Nice.
toilet. And I was like, whoa, okay, what's this? And then she came over to me and knelt down and put her hand on my knee, and quietly she said, okay, it's gonna get more intense now. And I was like, what? More intense than this? What are you talking about? And then so I went pee, and I just stayed on the toilet, and then gosh, within a minute or two, I had this like huge body urge to just push down. Like everything in my body was being squeezed down, and it was not like anything I was doing on purpose. It was just my body like shifting into this new phase where it was bringing my baby down. And I felt his head like in the birth canal as it was slowly like being urged out. And my moans sure changed then. They were very like very pushy. I would do it now, but it would be very loud. So I will do it.
You could.
Well, so okay, I'll just do it. So the earlier moans were more like long and like just solid deep moans, and then once I was on the bed on my back, it was kind of shifting to like that. And then once the water had broken and I was on the toilet, it was like deep guttural, like it was coming from deep in my belly.
I love, thank you for doing that. I love that you did that because it is, I mean, I know that often on the show and if you ask birthy people that that have been at births, right? That it's like, well, you can, you know, we say this that you can hear when things change by the sounds the birthing person is making. And it's like, really? Like, come on. Like, how is that different? But it is. You just start hearing at that top of that contraction, that little, a little grunty thing is like, okay, things are happening. Yeah, it's so, I love it. I love when it happens.
And though it was, it was painful having a natural birth, I was so grateful that I was able to be so connected to my body, and I really was able to like witness my body going, like transitioning into each different phase. Though I wasn't thinking about it, it was there for me, like as a primal thing. So that was really cool. I felt very in control and like powerful, which is it's weird to say that you can feel so powerful when being in like kind of a lot of pain. But it's a different kind of pain because it's like it's so wave-like, and the body is like producing all these hormones that are like also giving you good feelings. So it's so different from anything else.
Yeah. So you felt the head going down through the birthing canal, and you're definitely like doing some serious, more intense moaning, pushing sounds. So don't keep like l tell us what happened. How long was this did this go on for?
So I think we all knew it was happening fast at that point. My midwife said, "You're gonna get off the toilet before his head comes out, right?" And I was like, "I don't know if I can get off the toilet right now." I couldn't move. And after like one more contraction on the toilet, one of them, I don't know if it was my partner or her, helped me get off and walk over to the bed, which was very different because I actually felt his head like right between my legs. So I could not like stand up straight. I was kind of like caveman walking over to the bed. And they had set up like plastic on the floor just before, like while I was in the bathroom. And she set up this little birth stool for me, and I tried to sit, squat down on it, but immediately my primal instincts just had me flip over onto my hands and knees, and I kind of leaned on the bed, but I was on the floor, and at that point my body was just pushing. I did not do any like intentional pushing. It was just happening. And I don't know how many contractions, but it was not many. I felt that ring of fire that everybody talks about, and I'm like, ow, that really hurts. And it was harder to have long, deep breaths through this part. It was more like yelling. And but that was okay. I was okay with that. I didn't care about anything actually at that point. I did not care if I was going to tear. I was just like, let's get through this. So my partner and my midwife were right behind me. I'm on hands and knees. I felt his head stretching me, and then it would come out and then go back in a little bit, and then it would come out and go back in a little bit. And oh gosh, it felt so good when I would go back in. I was like, just stay like this. And then, gosh, by the last contraction, it was so strong. I was confronted because it was so painful and intense. Part of me just wanted to like die, but then I knew I just had to go through it. The only way to get this over with was to go through the pain. So, I just let out a lion roar, and that push was working with my body, but that was intentional. And I pushed his head out, and then I have a picture of my partner was then supporting his head, and I got a few breaths there. Gosh, it was such a relief to have his head out. And then a few, maybe a minute went by. I don't know time at this point, but I wasn't having another contraction after that, and we were trying to wait for the next contraction, but apparently his face was turning a little bit blue, and I didn't know this at the time. But my midwife then, I sort of was starting to have contraction, but it wasn't very strong. And my midwife at that point, like, kind of stuck her hands inside of me, which I felt, and then grabbed him and kind of pulled and helped rotate him out. And I saw in the video afterwards that the umbilical cord was wrapped around his shoulder and arm and body. So he was a little bit stuck at the end there. And but he came out and cried and was totally fine. And I just needed a few breaths before I could flip over. I was like, whoo, oh my God, I'm done. It was such a relief. And I felt his legs like wiggle out of me as he came out. And then I flipped over, or before I flipped over, my partner kind of put the baby on my butt, and I felt this warm, slimy thing. And he afterwards told me I didn't know what to do, but I remember you're supposed to do skin to skin, so I just put him on your butt.
That's awesome.
And then I flipped over and they handed him to me, and gosh, I was just in shock. It was awesome. I was like, wow, there you are. It was dark and quiet and just peaceful, and this big relief for me at least. And there we were. We were a family all of a sudden.
It is so, like, we have to take a little breath because it is so much that happens so quickly. And like you said, there you were. Now you're a family.
Yeah. So that was he was born at 2:39 a.m. And when labor had really shifted from manage, well, I guess I was managing it the whole time, but able to talk and walk and watch TV to like being in my cave. That was like 11:30 at night, and so it was like 3 hours of really intense labor, and then he was born.
So I love that you went really deep and you were into it, like not resisting, but just embracing the process. 'Cause like you say, you gotta get through it. The only way through it is through it. And so resistance is only gonna make it longer.
Yeah, that's what I like. I knew that intellectually, and so I really just had to work with my body to keep that like primal instinct there, because I knew if I got too much in my head that it wouldn't go smoothly, or it maybe wouldn't go smoothly. And so I knew what to do, but in the moment, it really took working with my body and letting go again and again and again to keep in that, in the body and not in the mind.
So much, so much. So, Celia, what was the most challenging part of all this?
The most challenging part, I would say, was actually staying, like we were just saying, staying in the moment. Because the mind wants to figure it out. The mind wants to find a way out. And so the most challenging thing, and the thing that I was able to use my tools the most for, was staying right in the moment. And the tools that I used for that, were really breathing and swaying. Those were like the biggest things for me. And yeah, whenever there was resistance coming up, just acknowledging that and letting it go. And it's like, it's easy to say all this, but when you're going through it, it's not easy. Birth is hard work.
No, it's the most, it's the hardest work. It's so intense.
But
Absolutely.
afterwards, a couple weeks afterwards, I was just like in awe. I was like, that was so awesome. That was amazing that I did that. And yeah, I was so powerful. And we are all so powerful that we can go through this.
However, whichever path it takes.
Yeah, totally. Whichever path it takes.
So, what was radically different than what you expected? And it doesn't have to be
Well,
radically. What was different?
I yeah, I expected labor to go the way I knew it would, where it's like early labor and active labor and transition. And for me, I was confused because it felt like early labor for like 24 hours and then transition. So it just, every labor just goes the way it goes, and it's not like clear cut. And that was a learning lesson for me, to just not have so many expectations about the way it's going to go. And also afterwards, I was surprised that I lost kind of a lot of blood. And this is something people worry about often with home birth, that like you can hemorrhage. But my midwife ended up handling it really well. I wasn't worried because she stayed so calm and confident. She gave me a shot of Pitocin after the birth and some herbs to help my uterus contract and stop the bleeding. And she even gave me an IV. I think it was just saline, but she totally handled it. And I wanted to save my placenta to put under a tree or something. I have part of it left, but she made me a placenta smoothie because apparently eating your placenta can also help stop hemorrhaging. So I had a placenta smoothie after the
Yum. I'm
birth.
sure she put all kinds of different tastes in there, and it wasn't like,
Oh yeah. And I could hardly like notice at that point. I was just like in la la land, oxytocin land.
So, how did birth and postpartum transform you?
Well, something I've heard you say really became real for me afterwards, and that is that we could do hard things. And it's transformed me in all areas of my life, because things that I would kind of like not really commit to, I would commit to and then not end up keeping my commitment. I'm just doing it now. And I think that really comes from knowing that I can do hard things.
Oh, I love it. Yes, we can. It's a great realization, I find, like understanding how immensely hard things we can do.
Yeah, that really shifted for me. And it's also interesting because I don't feel like a mom, and the birth kind of seems like a dream at this point. Like I was Celia, and then I went through this intense thing, and now I have a baby, but I'm still Celia.
Yeah. And so, how old is your baby boy now?
He's 5 months.
5 months. So that's a great point to say that you don't necessarily like integrating what it means to be a mom and that sort of taking on that label and making it one that defines you can take time.
Yeah, I'm still like, it's a whole discovery of like this new identity as a mom and how that shows up like in my relationship with my partner and our sex life and being out in the world with other people. Yeah, it's a whole new thing.
Yeah. Oh, I love that how you put it, that like you're Celia with a baby and you're still becoming a mom and trying to figure that out. Yeah. And it can take, frankly, I think it took me years before I stopped being surprised when my daughter was like, "Mom," and it's like, "You're talking to me. You're calling me."
I'm excited for that.
It's a that's a, like there are so many beautiful milestones along the way of all these first things that happen. Yeah.
Oh yeah, just on what was it? Saturday, we were in Trader Joe's and we discovered that his first tooth is popping out.
Teething. Ugh.
I'm like, oh, no wonder you slept so crappy the
That can be a whole other challenge for sure. Oh, I love it. Is there anything you would do differently?
I don't know. Let's see. Next birth, what would I do differently? I think everything was set up perfectly for me. I think the environment is such a big factor in how your birth is going to go. So I just will be mindful of that again and really like set up my home to be calming and have everything I need like nearby. And maybe what I would do differently for postpartum is keep the space really just us for a longer period of time, because though I did take a lot of time to rest before being active again, we had a lot of visitors, and like just after having a baby, it was like such I had so many emotions, and we're learning to breastfeed, and there's just so much going on with us that having other people come into the space was really, it kind of rocked me a bit. It was overwhelming to have people in the space. So maybe next time I would just keep it us for a longer period of time.
What is longer? What are you thinking in terms of days?
Well, definitely like the first couple weeks would just be us, and maybe like my mom and dad could come by. But I was shocked actually, because we had people coming to stay with us when he was from 1 month to 2 months, and even that was too much. So I'm like, the fourth trimester needs to be just really mellow and not trying to do too much, not seeing too many people.
Yeah, and I think that's a great understanding. It's just like at birth, you don't know what's going to happen and where it's going to go and what you're going to want. Like you had a doula and then decided, actually, I'm good. I need to be alone, or to an extent, right? To have the minimum amount of people that and that carried on to your postpartum. that can be different for everyone, but to understand, I guess, the flexibility of having like a plan B in case you're going to have like all these people come in. And when you're in it, you suddenly realize that actually, I don't want all these people. And then how can we adjust and change and not feel guilty about it and be okay with creating a boundary and a separation?
Yeah, yeah. I had made all these plans while I was pregnant. And then once we had the baby, I was like, oh, I can't cancel. But yeah, I had a lot of guilt for feeling overwhelmed even. So yeah, setting that up to have a plan B is a great idea.
Yeah. Flexibility. Because you never know. You don't know what you're gonna need or want or
right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I know some moms who like felt isolated afterwards and they wanted to be around people. So yeah, having flexibility is important.
Yeah. I feel that it can be helpful to think about what are your coping mechanisms to get your energy back on a regular basis. So like your non-pregnant self, are you the type of person that gets recharged and re-energized by having contact with people, or are you a type of person that needs to like go away, get away, be alone to recharge? And that can give you a glimpse of what you might need postpartum.
Yeah, totally.
Because, you know, it's tough in the sense that you have this little baby that needs you the whole time, which if you're the type of person who needs to get away, there's no getting away already from that situation, right? That one you have to keep. And then if you're the sort of person who like needs to be, having a baby can be isolating because it there's stuff you can't do with the baby, and it kind of changes your relationship to things you used to do with your friends or that. So it can be hard for that, both isolating and feeling overtouched at the same time, which is so weird.
Yeah, but also that's why like postpartum doulas are so great, and they really like know where boundaries are, how to listen for things, and you know, when to really like be there and hands-on and when to be in the background. So yeah, postpartum doulas are awesome. And also I found that after a few weeks, going out to a mama baby yoga class was awesome because everyone is going through the same stuff. And also if it was a day that I wasn't feeling like being around people, I could just not go.
There you go. Yeah, that's a great point. You dare participate at your own comfort level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Celia, you talked about some resources. Did you have other resources that you wanted to share with listeners?
Yes. So, first podcast, of course, everyone listening to this is listening to the Birthful podcast, and I recommend listening to all the episodes. I also listened to The Birth Hour, which has amazing birth stories in every setting and every type of birth you can imagine. And also another super informative podcast is Healthy Birth, Happy Babies podcast. And for those people who are interested in home birth or curious about it, there's a podcast called Doing It at Home. And then I recommend a lot of books. It's easier to read them through pregnancy if you have the time, but at least read one or two. Ina May's Guide to Childbirth is like my number one. And another one is Nurture, A Modern Guide to Pregnancy, Birth, Early Motherhood, and Trusting Yourself and Your Body by Erica Chidi Cohen. Birthing from Within by Pam England. Active Birth by Janet Belasquez. And The Motherly Art of Breastfeeding by, I guess, the La Leche League International. And The Vaccine Friendly Plan by Dr. Paul Thomas and Jennifer Margulis. That has a lot of info about pregnancy, birth, babies, like the whole adventure.
And I'll link also at the end to episodes that I've done with several people that you mentioned. So I have an episode with Pam and Glenn from Birthing From Within, and one with Dr. Paul Thomas with Vaccine Friendly or Vaccines, and even with Jay Warren from the Happy Baby Healthy Births podcast.
Or
Healthy Birth Happy Baby. Sorry.
A lot of these people through listening to your podcast.
Yay.
Which is awesome. Also, a couple websites, evidencebasedbirth.com and spinningbabies.com. Those were so, so helpful when preparing for birth.
Awesome. I will put all those on the show notes. And what if people want to connect with you and what you do? How can they do that?
Yeah, so I have a website. You can reach me on there. It's holisticmama.org. Or you can email me at holisticmamatribe@gmail.com. Also, you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at holisticmamatribe.
And is that Mama, M-A-M-A?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. holisticmamatribe@gmail, you said?
Yes.
Beautiful. I'm just taking notes myself so I can then put it in the show notes. Is there any other... anything we didn't get to? Any last words that you want to leave the listeners with?
Gosh, I would say just wherever you choose to give birth, choose a place that you feel most safe, secure, and comfortable. Choose a birth team that makes you feel supported, and ultimately trust your body and listen to your body throughout all of it.
Awesome, awesome advice for sure. Celia, thank you so, so much for coming on the show and sharing your stories and for all the love. I appreciate it.
Thank you for all that you do.
Mighty ones, I love to hear from you. So share with me your thoughts. And if you'd like to share your own postpartum, breastfeeding, or partner story, let me know. Go to birthful.com where you can learn more about me, the show, Patreon member benefits, send me messages, and more. I'm also on Facebook or Twitter as @birthful. So come say hi. This episode was produced by me and made possible by you, the Birthful Patreon supporters, and by the wonderful people at Simply Breastfeeding and Expectful. The title song for this podcast is Vivace by Kevin McLeod, and the sponsorship song is Air Hockey Saloon by Chris Zabriskie. Find them both at freemusicarchive.org. Also, the Birthful podcast is a part of the Parents on Demand network. Find out more at parentsondemand.com. I'm Adriana Losada. Please join me Wednesday when I'll be talking to a new birth professional to inform your intuition here at the Birthful Podcast. Thanks so much for listening.